The SPA Women's Ministry of Bethel Deliverance International Church invites all women to join them for a live simulcast with Priscilla Shira and worship with Anthony Evans.
Ministry is when you are patient still, when you are grace-filled still, when you still share the love of Jesus, and when you spend time in the Word of God. The reason is so that you can get to know His stripes, because it's by those stripes that you have been healed, that you have been set free, and that you have been delivered.
You'll be inspired and challenged to step into God's plan for your life as Priscilla delivers a powerful message of encouragement and truth from the Word of God. It's all happening Saturday, April 8th, 8:30 a.m. to 4 o'clock p.m. at Bethel Deliverance International Church, located at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Winco, Pennsylvania. Registration is $20, which includes lunch and materials. Don't miss the chance to experience Priscilla Shira live. Go to BethelDeliverance.org to register today.
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
I need something that clearly defines my existence as a Christian. Is it the absence of trial and turmoil? No, those things are ever present. The Bible, in fact, tells me many are the afflictions of the righteous. I need something to qualify my Christian life so the world will see that there is something distinct about me. Is it power? No, because devils can duplicate this power in a false way. A Christian casts out a devil. Another demon-possessed person will only have that demon-possessed person work with them. Because Jesus said the only way to get something out is that it must be subdued by someone greater. So that person may be demon-possessed, lay their hands on another demon-possessed person, and the demon in that person acts like he's gone. Just so that person that's not godly will get more followers. So apparently, it's not the signs that identify my walk with God. Cannot be the tongues, because tongues can be uttered by those who are not even born again. We see that on television shows, how they mock, mimic, and imitate who we are. Can't be the preaching and the teaching, because some of the most eloquent preachers you will ever hear are not born again. It cannot be the pharisaical attitude of the self-righteous, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so I need to confess to the world that I am born again, not by words, but by the preponderance of the evidence called works. But are those works singing on the choir, singing in the praise team? Are those works being a deacon and an elder and a minister or being a prophetic person? Are those the works that he's talking about? No. Because Jesus says in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, he said there are going to be a lot of people that come to him in the last days, and they're going to say that I did a lot of works in your name, but I don't know you. And then comes the command, depart from me. Gosh, what a scary thing. Depart from me, I never knew you. And the verb gnosko is used for know, which means intimate knowledge. You weren't connected to me. You were just doing works for me, but you were not connected to me. In Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 34, Jesus is confronted by a scribe. The Bible says, the scribe in verse 28, having heard the people around Jesus and Jesus reasoning, and he understood that Jesus answered them in a way that shut down his critics. I'm telling you, Jesus is my hero. He could shut down anybody. This young scribe, if you paint the picture, this young scribe, his responsibility is to sit right at the base of what we would call the pulpit or the lectern or the table or wherever the speaker was addressing the people. His job was to sit right there and write down what he heard and keep it for posterity. In other words, 5 years from now, the notes of that scribe ought to be used for reference as to what was said 5 years ago. It's like a lawyer. When a lawyer goes into trial and says, Your Honor, in the United States versus Connolly, the Supreme Court ruled such and such and such and such. Then the judge said, well, there's precedence for this. Then I have to rule that way. So the future rabbis would then have some record of what was said. So this young man, obviously, is listening to a lot of bishagosh, foolishness about the law. And each rabbi giving their own take of a particular command of God. But seeing something different in Jesus causes him to ask Jesus a very esoteric question. A question that goes beyond plain curiosity, but it's a question that requires an answer that will resolve something in him. It's not just a closed question. It's a question that comes from thought. He's been hearing all this stuff, and he comes to this startling realization. No one is addressing the real issue. No one is dealing with the real problem. So when he sees that Jesus is without critic, that Jesus has no equal in the theological arena, it is suggested that maybe he even asks this question of the other rabbis. It's suggested because he comes to Jesus and no one asks a question of this magnitude unless they've been contemplating. Having sat there for years, I would say, and hearing all of this pontification, this self-exaltation of schooling and knowledge, this individualized doctrine creating of the sacred writ of God. 631 laws permeate the Jewish religion. He's hearing all this stuff and he says to Jesus, which one, the King James says, is the first? But in context, what he's asking is which one of all of these is the greatest one? It's apparent that he wants to give God his best. So he's saying, which one is the best? I don't want to just give him all the stuff I'm hearing. Which one is the best? And Jesus looks at him. And what I love about this, and now you need to tie all four of the gospels together. I need you to now extract Jesus' responses to people who ask him questions. Don't deal with the actions of Jesus, the miracles. No, cross that out your mind for a moment and just extract how Jesus answered questions. Are you with me? Yes. All right, now, I need you to examine the fact that when Jesus was confronted by an idiot, he always prefaced his answer with things that would confuse the idiot because he knew that person wasn't asking with a legitimate question. So when the Pharisee said, by whose authority do you do this? He said, tell me this. John's baptism, was it of God or man? It had nothing to do with the question. Nothing. And right away they said, well, if we say it's of God, then he's going to say, well, then why don't you believe me? And if we say it's of man, the people are going to be upset because they view him as a prophet. So they said, we can't tell you. He said, fine, then I ain't telling you. Man, he was infuriating. Then if he thought you could understand, but he knew that there was some legitimate reason that you couldn't understand, he told you a story. There was a man who was going down Cheltenham Avenue, and he saw an old appliance store, and he stopped in. He was searching for light, but he ran into people. Now, he just wanted to come in and worship God. And he was overcome by his emotion, and he just loved what God has done for him. But he ran into people who told him he was praising God too loud. So he left. And they said, well, what's that got to do with the question? He said, you asked me what causes people to leave God. Very rarely does he give a direct answer without any preparation or story. This man receives Jesus's number one response. He looked at him and said, the first of all the commandments, because he knew that this man was genuinely, legitimately seeking. He says, I don't have to play with him. I don't have to give him something to convolute the issue. I don't have to give him a parable. I don't have to do anything to confuse him, to drive him away. He said, this man's question is honest, and it comes from a heart that's genuinely seeking. He said, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. That's the first one. The first one is, our God is God. In fact, in the Old Testament, when it was translated to English, what they did, there are times you'll see the phrase Lord God. All right, in Hebrew, it is Yahweh Elohim. In other words, our God is the Lord. We have the only God. See, a lot of people have gods. That's why he has to put the Yahweh in front of the Elohim. Because the Babylonians had a god, the Hittites had a god, the Philistines had a god. Everybody had a god. But our God is the Lord. And we have to be careful how we mix the titles. Our God is the Lord, Yahweh, Jehovah. That's our God. And here's what Jesus said. The fundamental, the first of all the commandments is that our God is one. We are not polytheistic people. We don't have a God for everything. Some cultures today, they have 300 gods. And when you give them Jesus, they just add him to the bunch. Those are people that are confused. But you and I are not confused, because our God is one. We have one God. Who is our God? The Lord is our God. Jesus said, that's the first commandment.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
1517A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. The telecast can also be seen Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday on WMCN TV 44 at 7:30 a.m. WMCN is available on Fios, Comcast, and Broadcast Television. To visit one of Bethel's Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
If you desire to fellowship with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. and you are unable to visit Bethel Deliverance International Church, please feel free to attend a special service at the Ark of Safety Christian Church located at 3875 Poplar Street on Sunday, March 5th, at 4 p.m. For further details, visit our website, BethelDeliverance.org, and click on the Bishop's itinerary link. We're looking forward to fellowshipping with you.